Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody is doing well. Another really, really nice day. A little bit warmer today, a little more humid, probably because I actually did some stuff outside today. But yeah.
Wait, you think that's why it was more humid outside?
Humid to me, and that it may have been because I was actually doing some edging and trimming.
I wanted to make sure you didn't think it was, well, because you had stuff to do today.
No.
They made it more human.
I don't think that it happened because of that. I just think I may have noticed it a little
bit
more.
Are you sure it didn't happen because of that, though?
Yeah,
okay, because they might have saved the heat.
I've had Kennedy testing the heat and humidity and everything the last few days. But
the heat and humidity, good news for the pool temperature, right?
Oh, yes.
Like that's yeah.
It's still not 70 degrees, so it's still a little chilly. I almost made the plunge today. I mean, I've been in a couple of times. Almost did it today, but I started running late, and I thought if I got in the pool, I might not get out. Show might start, and you'd be wondering where I am, and I might be just floating there, floating along in the backyard. So hope everybody doing well. Again, another nice looking day here. It is a day where Auburn baseball, let's see, first of all, Auburn softball, congratulations to them, winning in their first game in the SEC tournament, a must win really for Auburn softball. They're now a game under 500 as they beat Missouri down. They were down 2-0, scored 4 in the 6th, added 2 in the 7th, and won it 6-2. And they will play again tomorrow, looking to extend their season. Meanwhile, Auburn baseball back in action tonight off of that series win in College Station against Texas A&M. The Tigers continuing on the road, and they are taking on the UAB Blazers tonight up in Birmingham.
Exciting night of baseball in the state of Alabama. You've got Auburn UAB tonight. How about sold out Riddle Pace Field in Troy, Alabama's in town. So that's going to be a fun one there Barry and our pals down with the Trojans athletic department. That's a pretty good baseball team they've got down there in the Sun Belt. And big game tonight, and cool that it's going to be a packed house for Alabama and Troy. And like you said, should be an exciting one for Auburn and UAB as well. Auburn usually gets they get your best shot when they go in the midweek and take on, especially regional mid-majors.
Mm-hmm. And a situation where, you know, with another Thursday through Saturday series coming up, or is it Thursday through Saturday this week, or is it Friday through Sunday?
They're playing Thursday, right? Because it's a short week, remember?
I'm telling you, the brain is about fried. I don't know if it's from
the heat.
You're right. It is Thursday. Yeah, because last week was supposed to have been Friday through Sunday. It ended up being doubleheader Saturday and a single game Sunday.
You want a root beer?
Got a Gatorade. But Thursday through Saturday for the last two weekends of the season, including the trip to Starkville. Two teams tied for fourth. But before we get to that, you got the UAB matchup tonight. Let's get to the Drive Hotline. Welcome in our good friend, voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on the Tuesday Drive. Hey, Andy, how are you doing today?
Bill, Dan, I'm doing very well, thank you. Good to be with you on this Tuesday. Looking forward to a big, big week of Auburn baseball tonight, of course, at UAB. And then, as you mentioned, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi. The two fourth-place teams in the SEC going at each other, a pair of top 10 teams. Should be a big, big raucous weekend in Starkville, Mississippi.
Well, it sounded pretty raucous, as you know, in College Station last
week.
The beginning
of game one was raucous, and then inning and a half later.
But even after Auburn had scored six, it sounded like they got into it a few times, even when they were down. That was a lively atmosphere that Auburn went into last week and swept that doubleheader on their way to the series win.
It's a big Saturday for Auburn, and it was. I mean, A&M was ready. Their crowd was ready, as we knew that they would be. Auburn gets a huge second inning. A&M comes back, gets a couple home runs. And then Auburn just responded every time that A&M made a run on them. And then game two couldn't have been any different than game one. Back and forth, Auburn jumped out to a 5-0 lead. Texas A&M came back, cut the lead to one, and had had runners on base, had the tying run on base in the ninth inning. And Auburn got a big ground out to Brandon McCrane at second base to get out of that. And Auburn ends up winning that ball game, wins the series. And then just the opposite in the Sunday ball game.
Mm-hmm.
A&M jumped out to the lead. Auburn was no hit until the seventh inning and came back. And Auburn had the tying run at second base, the go-ahead run. The tying run at third, the go-ahead run down at second base in that game. And hit into a double play, and the game came to a close.
Mm-hmm.
So a really good series, but a very good weekend for Auburn baseball. Five straight series wins now for the Tigers. Auburn hasn't done that since the end of the 23 season. And Auburn right now the only team that has won five consecutive series. But a very, very tough weekend. But all of that follows what I think will be a very, very good game tonight in Birmingham. Auburn overpowered UAB at Plainsman Park early in the season, but Casey Dunn's ball club has played extraordinarily well of late. I expect that there will be a good crowd tonight at Regis Field in Birmingham for that one. Bradlaugh will have the call right here on Wings 94.3 tonight, starting at 5:45, and then the team is going to stay in Birmingham tonight and then bus over to Starkville for the start of that Thursday, Friday, Saturday series.
Yeah, Brian Matthews was talking about that, how they're going to do that. And I had heard you say on the broadcast over the weekend that Brad would have the broadcast tonight. So you'll be in Starkville this weekend, though, right?
Well, and I'll give you the reason that I'm not doing the ball game tonight, but Joshua Brambler graduates from Georgia State.
Oh, great. Time flies.
How about that? And so Jan and I are in Atlanta for his graduation ceremony tomorrow, where we're taking him to dinner tonight to celebrate his graduation. And then we're driving to Starkville. I've never done that before from Atlanta, so we're going to drive to Starkville tomorrow and be there for the series this weekend. But we felt that this was a game that I could miss for a big moment for Josh Brambley.
Oh yeah, no question about it.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Andy, and allows us to extend, just such a congratulations to Joshua on graduating and a guy that we're always thinking about.
We will pass that along to him. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. So, you guys have fun and enjoy the celebration. I mean, it's such a big moment. And man, it's hard to believe that that he's graduating from college. My goodness.
How about that?
Yeah, no kidding. Andy, I was wondering. So Griffin Graves is going tonight.
Griffin Graves gets the start tonight. I think he will go as long as he can.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Bill, in talking with Coach Thompson this morning for this week at Auburn baseball, I think they will use several pitchers tonight. There was no way that they could play ball last Friday. None, zero. It rained all day and into the night in College Station. The original plan or the original offer from A&M was to play two on Sunday.
Ooh.
And Auburn didn't want to have anything to do with that because it was going to be tough enough playing two on Saturday and then a game on Sunday and then a game on Tuesday and then the series at Mississippi State on Thursday. So they obviously played the doubleheader on Saturday. And then but still – now you've got guys like you know, Andreas Alvarez and Jake Marciano that pitched Saturday and pitched deep in that doubleheader on Saturday. And if either of them would start the game on Thursday, they'd be starting with 2 days less rest. Not just 1 day, 2 days
right.
less.
So
as of this morning, they were not ready to name a rotation for the weekend just yet.
We were
other
wondering.
Than Braves gets the start tonight.
Mm-hmm. We were wondering yesterday, just thinking aloud, wondering if Jackson, who pitched three innings there and got the save in the second game, if he might be able to go. I know it would still be short rest, but he didn't he didn't throw as many pitchers to go as deep as either Jake or Andreas.
Well, I think that's a possibility at this point. It's just as of this morning, the rotation had not been set, and they were just looking at the possibilities
right
now. And it may depend on who all throws in tonight's game in Birmingham against UAB. Remember, this is a UAB team that swept Auburn a year ago.
Right.
Beat Auburn in Auburn and beat Auburn in at Regents Field in Birmingham. And they're playing really well right now. I mean, they're making a run to the postseason just like Auburn at this point. So there's a lot on the line for a UAB ball club with a top five team in town. You know that will help not only their strength of schedule, but their RPI as well. For this game tonight. So we know that Graves gets to start tonight. Just how long he goes perhaps depends on how long he is effective in tonight's ball game. That will be his third start since coming back for Auburn. Of course, the Tigers did not have a midweek game last week with final exams on campus. So exactly what Auburn does, and maybe by now that decision has been made. But as of this morning, and we talked at 10 o'clock and then put the interview out after that, as of this morning, that decision had not been made who would get the start Thursday night as the Tigers open up that series at 7 o'clock in Starkville, Mississippi, with the broadcast at 6:45 on Wings 94.3.
Well, I don't see any reason to really do that. Even if they've reached a decision, there's no reason to give Mississippi State too much advance notice, so... I don't blame Butch at all if that's their thought.
Well, you know, the difference is, I mean, you know, for the most part this year, we knew the rotation.
Right.
We knew what it was going to be. And it's been the same guys, the same four for Auburn for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And they have been very, very good throughout
really
this
have.
Season. And were really good on this past weekend against A&M. I know that Alex Petrovic would like to have one pitch back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the changeup that he threw to Akopian that was a three-run homer that turned out to be the difference on Sunday. So you take that pitch away, and it's perhaps a sweep for Auburn this past week. But it illustrates just how well these guys have pitched for Auburn. But that will be tested this week because everybody's going to be throwing on at least a day or maybe more of arrest at this point. And if then, of course, next week is a very tough week for Auburn as well. A week from tonight, Auburn goes to Jacksonville State that has been in and around the top 25 almost the entire, well, really since April. Jack State has been a team in and out of the top 25, and they're in several of the polls in the top 25 this week. And then you close the season with the team right now that's the number one team in the SEC in Georgia coming in. So regardless of who you're playing, when you're playing, it's a very, very tough schedule for this Auburn ball club to be sure. And it starts or it continues tonight with a really good UAB ball club there in Birmingham.
Right. I mean, with all the road games and 7 games in 8 days before you get a day off and then have Tuesday, Thursday through Saturday next week, Auburn is very fortunate, and they are – Auburn is a team that is in a good situation because of the depth that they have on the mound and with hitters. I mean, boy, you had a situation where in the opening game of the doubleheader, Mason McCrane gets hit, comes out of the ball game. Cade Ballou comes in and gets 3 hits. I mean, that's just the depth of this team that they have throughout. Andy, I've been asked this, and I don't know that I can recall Butch Thompson having a deeper team than this Auburn team this year.
No, and one of the reasons is they've been able to avoid the big injury. So knock on some wood wherever you are, or do whatever you want to do. But, you know, Auburn has avoided that big injury this season, and especially with his pitching staff. And they've added some depth to it with the Griffin Graves, who's now, you know, coming back from an injury that occurred just prior to the season. But, yes, Auburn has depth. Auburn has depth. You know, look at the outfield, and you bring up Cade Blue, the Auburn high school product, who came into the ball game for Auburn in that first game on Saturday after Mason McCrane was hit on the elbow right off the bat, right at, to start the game.
Right.
And it was a 90-plus fastball that hit him, by the way. That wasn't a changeup that he got hit with. They took x-rays, found out that everything was okay. At one point, we watched him come back from wherever he had gone to take the x-rays back to the Auburn dugout. We thought, well, that's at least good news, and we'll see if he plays in game two, and he did. But Cade Ballou has three hits in that game and then got hit and sets the Auburn record for most hit by pitches. That was the 40th time in his career that he had been hit by a pitch. I think that would hurt him. That was a 90-plus heater that got him. But think about that. I mean, when you have a guy like a Cade Ballou that can come in and you don't miss anything, certainly from a speed perspective, you certainly don't miss anything from an outfield perspective. And then, you know, it's been a bit of a problem, or not a problem, it's been a bit of a struggle offensively this year for Cade. And what does he do? He gets three hits and then gets hit. But that was such a big part of that ball game. And when Auburn lost Logan Gregorio in the Florida series, or when Chase Frelick had to leave that ball game, and that was the same game, by the way, down in Florida, and Auburn finds a way to come back, and Belza comes in and catches because Lucas Steele's already in the game as your DH. And so it's, yes, we have seen the depth of this team tested somewhat, and Auburn has depth this year. And that is good to see for a team that right now is ranked as high as number 5 in the country, is in the midst of trying to secure a top 4 seed at the SEC tournament. That gets you 2 byes. You don't play till Thursday at the SEC tournament in Hoover, if that's the case. They're trying to get one of those national number 8 seeds, and that means that you host in the regional. If you win, you get to host the super regional for a second straight year. So there's a great deal on the line, but nobody has a tougher schedule than Auburn down the stretch of the season. And I don't think it's just in the SEC, guys. I think it's anywhere. No one has a tougher schedule than this Auburn ball club at this point.
No, I agree with you. And we were also looking at this now with 14 conference wins. I would think, Andy, that 17 would be very difficult for you not to be a top 8 seed with the strength of schedule, the RPI that Auburn has, if they get 17 conference wins.
I mean, has anyone else played a schedule like this
No.
and has played as well as this team right now? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Andy, can you stick with us for one more segment?
Yes.
All right, great.
Absolutely.
We need to get to a break. We'll be right back with the voice of the Tigers here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Afternoon, joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. He's in Atlanta tonight, so it'll be Brad Law with call. Brad doing it solo tonight, Andy?
He's solo tonight. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if Jason might be there or not. So now Brad's got it tonight, and then Andy and Brad for the early weekend, Thursday through Saturday. Any reason why this one's going? Is it TV Thursday night? Is that why we're going Thursday through Saturday this week?
I assume so. I'm not certain. It's a 7 o'clock start. My guess is yes, because it's a 7 o'clock start Thursday, and then 7:30 on Friday, and then 3 o'clock on Saturday. I know the first two games of the Georgia series, which are now 7 o'clock games, next week have both been picked up by the TV folks. So. I'm guessing, but I don't know that for certain, Bill. I just know that I'll be there doing it for us.
Yeah, it should be a, the last six games of the regular season leading into the postseason, last six conference games of the season leading into the postseason. I mean, we were talking about it, like looking at the standings. Georgia has a chance to clinch this weekend, depending on what happens in their series, depending on what happens with
Texas
A&M. If LSU, who's still got a lot to play for, if they can win some games in Athens this weekend, you could have a really, really interesting final weekend of the regular season. We'll see what the we'll see what's in the cards for the end of the season.
If LSU doesn't win this weekend, their season may be done.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I don't know how many they've got to win, but you know, wins in Athens would certainly help the defending national champions' cause to make the NCAA tournament.
Well, they don't have the toughest strength of schedule. I think they probably need 13 conference wins, so that means four of their last six.
Yeah. And they've got some work to do.
Yeah, they got Georgia and Florida
in the last couple weekends. and wins in Athens would certainly help, but will be tough because it's Athens and it's right now the best team in the Southeastern Conference in Georgia at this point. So Georgia will certainly be playing a motivated team in an LSU ball club. And who would have thought, if you'd have looked at that schedule and said, wow, LSU and Georgia, the second to last weekend of the year, that could be for an SEC championship. Well, it may be.
Yeah,
it also could be for the defending national champs just to try and get in position to make the NCAA tournament. At this point,
you're right. It could very well be the elimination of LSU. If Georgia sweeps, it's going to be virtually impossible for LSU unless they win the conference tournament.
Right. Exactly.
Talking with Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Andy, there's not a ton of like breaking news in the realm of football or men's basketball since the last time we got to talk to you. I'd love to ask Andy about some sports we don't always talk about.
Hey, there's very much some that are still going that Auburn's doing pretty well in.
How about the women's tennis season that they've had this year?
It's the best we've ever seen at Auburn. I mean, they have done this year what no Auburn team has ever done, and that's win at least a share of the SEC championship, and then win the school's first ever SEC tournament championship, host an NCAA regional, and then getting ready this week, 5 o'clock on Friday, when Duke comes to town to host his first ever super regional. And this is a team that is the number two national seed right now. In talking with Jordan Szabo earlier this week, they were disappointed they weren't the national.
I'm sure.
Number one seed. You talk to this guy, and he is in his second year as a head coach on the college level after coming from national champion Texas A&M. And they were on the verge of this a year ago, and they've added some depth and some strength to their lineup. And listen, they're freely talking about winning a national championship. We've never heard that kind of talk, nor needed to hear that kind of talk from Auburn women's tennis in years past. But that is a very confident team. I know Jason Caldwell was out there last week and I think covered Auburn's championship match in the regional against Miami. And one of the things that struck Jason in reading his Monday morning Monday morning column was just the incredible talent that this women's team has. And I know there was a good crowd out there last. I expect there to be a really big crowd at the Arbro Tennis Center this Friday. 5 o'clock. Nothing else is in town this weekend. That is the starring sporting event that's going to take place on the Plains. It is free at the Arbro Tennis Center. So listen, if I weren't in Starkville, Mississippi, calling baseball, I guarantee you I'd be at the Arbro Tennis Center watching that team advance to the Final Four. Hopefully, and so
we should go do the show from there.
I hope it's an enormous crowd.
Should be. Yeah, no reason not to.
Agreed.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Women's tennis. Hey, softball with a must win today as they try to keep their season alive.
Yeah. And it's a must win for them tomorrow as well against Texas A&M. But they're down. Was listening a little bit to Britt and JJ call that game over on Weagle. And they were down 2-0 at one point and then scored six unanswered runs. And I know that this has been a disappointment of a season for that team, but if they can find a way to win a couple more, I think their strength of schedule is good enough to get them in the NCAA tournament. But regardless, you at least finish the season with a little bit of a high note to get that win against Missouri. It gets a lot tougher tomorrow against Texas A&M, and I believe that game has been moved up to a 10 o'clock Central Time start as
right.
well
yep.
tomorrow morning. So Britt and JJ will have the call at 9:45. But that's another must win for the Tigers. But good to see them get a win today. And have a chance at this point. And really, that's all they can ask for at this time.
Hey, when you were talking about Jordan and his, you know, his attitude and the expectations that there are, that sounds sort of like Nick and Auburn yeah. men's golf, doesn't it?
Yeah, no question. And that's exactly where I was going to go. The personalities of those two men And let me tell you what, let me have Melissa Llewellyn into that list as well for the mm-hmm. women's tennis team, the women's golf wow. team. They play starting Monday up outside Louisville, Kentucky. And they're at the regional now. And the top five teams advance. This is really not a tournament that, yes, you always want to win the tournament, but this is not one of those that you have to win to advance to nationals.
No, you just need to
play
stay
well
in the
enough,
top. Yeah.
And it's only stroke play. But you talk with Melissa, there's a great deal of confidence in this team. There certainly is a great deal of confidence for that men's golf team, which will be the national number one seed. They will find out tomorrow. As a matter of fact, they'll find out tomorrow where they're going to go. And I think it's probably going to be Athens, Georgia, is where the men's tennis team will probably head as the national number one seed with the best amateur golfer in the country. Maybe one of the best. Well, he is one of the best amateur golfers in the world. Mm-hmm. Right now in Jackson Coivin after winning his third straight SEC championship. But they will find out tomorrow afternoon, I believe, where they're headed. And then they will start play a week from Monday, wherever they play in the regional. It's the same deal. It's 3 days of stroke play to advance to the Nationals out at La Costa out in California near San Diego.
Yeah, so there is still quite a bit going on as far as Auburn athletics is concerned. Yes.
Yeah, and let me add one more to that, because Auburn hosts the SEC track and field championships,
yes.
not this week, but next week out at the Hutzel-Rosen track. They brought in extra seating for that event, and there are a couple athletes on both the men's and women's side for that Auburn team. Jacoby Tharp is the one, obviously, that comes to mind, as he is, well, he's the reigning NCAA champion in the 60-meter hurdles indoors. He's the reigning 110-meter hurdle champion in outdoors from last year, and is one of the favorites to do the same thing this year. But that team has a great deal of talent, and they're getting ready for their championship run, and it starts, and I think it's next. I think it's a week from Thursday that Auburn starts hosting the SEC championships out at the Hutzel-Rosen track. And I think that's everything that's going on right now. I think we've hit it all.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Andy, I mean, you know, what's going on as far as Auburn Sports Network?
Well, this is a special Talking Tigers podcast this week. The audio version of the podcast is a holdover from last week with Rhett Hobart talking about the World Cup friendly that comes up mm-hmm. June 9th between Argentina and Iceland. On War Eagle Plus, the podcast that we recorded features Rhett and Jacob Jordan with Tigers Unlimited, and it is a special on the plans for Jordan here north. And it the reason there's not an audio version of it is because they have a presentation that they've been giving to a lot of stakeholders and groups around the state on Jordan here north, including the presentation they gave to the Auburn University Board of Trustees. But it is very visual, and it's level by level what Jordan-Hare North is going to be, not only in the stadium, but north, on the north exterior of the stadium and the plaza that's going to be there. So that's currently on War Eagle Plus. Coming up Monday, of course, next Friday, which is the middle game of the Georgia series, is the day that Auburn inducts Josh Donaldson's jersey to the Wall of Fame on the War Eagle Wall out and left. And Monday, my podcast with Jock Donaldson. We sat down. He was in Arizona. I was in my office, and we talked about his outstanding career and his induction to join Bo Jackson, Greg Olson, Frank Thomas, and Tim Hudson on the outfield wall at Auburn. So that is coming up Monday. The following Monday, guys, Ryan Roberts, Auburn's new gymnastics coach, will be on the Talking Tigers podcast. And then I think the 25th, is that a Monday? May 25th?
Yes.
I believe that's right.
Yes, that's right.
The Talking Tigers podcast is with Harding Harper III, who is Auburn's executive recruiting director for football. And get to know the former Vanderbilt linebacker and the man that is the one that is getting all of this together, all the scouting for the high schoolers that are coming to town on Big Cat Weekend coming up, and the transfer portal guys. So we get to know Harding Harper III. So those podcasts are all in the can and ready to go at this point. So looking forward to, but also looking forward just to a big weekend tonight. I'll be tuned in as much as I can, listening to Brad call that game against UAB, and then we'll be in Starkville on what will be. Now, listen, last week was raucous. This weekend will be raucous.
You're right about that.
Bring the earplugs.
It's Cowbell City, man. Oh. Yes, indeed.
It'll be crazy. It'll be crazy in Starkville this coming weekend. I can't wait for it.
Andy, that is a very Vanderbilt linebacker name. Right, Harding Harper the third. I can't wait. Well, can't wait to hear your conversation with him.
Grew up in Birmingham. Went to high school at Carver in Montgomery, and then on to Vanderbilt, where he played in a couple bowl games. Played for James Franklin, as a matter of fact. James Franklin was the coach at that time. But yes, it was interesting getting to know and to talk to him just about the philosophy of Auburn recruiting and his position with this team. So that comes up in a couple of weeks. Matter of fact, that's the last podcast that we have planned. We will have more, but that's the last one that we have in the can, so to speak, and that'll come up on the 25th.
And hopefully the weather cooperates when Josh Donaldson's jersey is retired, right? Bringer of rain.
Don't even
right?
Say
well,
that.
Well, no, he's the because he's the bringer of rain. I mean, that's what you got to worry about is when Josh is back in town. No telling what can happen.
Yeah. So
it's a good conversation with Josh, and he's been, you know what, he's given back to Auburn too.
Yes, he has.
That performance center out in right field that Brad and I have termed the Donnie, because that's what Rod and I called him. Well, he was Donnie when he played for Auburn. So that performance center that he has contributed to. And right, we're now calling it, we're nicknaming that the Donnie. So if Auburn hits a home run off the Performance Center, it's a home run off the Donnie.
I like it.
Got it right.
I like it. Andy, it's always great. Looking forward to all these, all the Talking Tiger, all the podcasts, and of course, all the broadcasts. Y'all have a great time with Joshua tonight as he graduates from college. Oh. My goodness. And then have a great trip to Stark Vegas this weekend.
Very much looking forward to it, guys. Thank you very much for your time today. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesdays here on The Drive. A great way to open things up. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. And speaking of opening up, we'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390 here on the Tuesday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Tuesday afternoon, Bill and Dan here in the studio. And, our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us. That's really cool that he and his wife are over in Atlanta.
Congratulations to JB. And always, you know, we're always thinking about that family. So very cool that Andy can make it to a very special moment in that young man's life. And not only is he part of the Auburn family, it's cool to know that Joshua's also a Sunbelt guy, right? Georgia State graduate. So we'll have something to talk about the next time I bump into him. But yeah, congratulations to Joshua. And I think we've been saying it for a couple of days, but congratulations to college graduates.
Oh, yes. And yes, indeed.
Near and far.
Only,
right?
They're only a few days removed, I mean, you know, from the ceremony.
Yeah. So hopefully you've got a job. Hopefully you found.
Well, I can give you a little while, but hopefully there's something on the horizon.
Oh man! But it's congratulations to everybody. I think you're already starting to see yesterday and today, kind of the beginning of that. A little bit slower.
Oh, it's thinning out.
A little bit
yes,
slower here in
thinning
Auburn.
Out. I mean, you know what? I mean, still the Sunday. Still Sunday there were a lot of folks still around on Sunday. Yesterday it was a little lighter. Today, even more so.
I think between now and the rest of the month, I think you'll start to see move out sort mm-hmm. of gradually increase, and then June and July, it really feels like summer. It's Memorial Day to media days or so for us, right? Where it's like it really feels like that's your genuine like summer.
That's summer.
Usually,
yeah, that's right.
Usually baseball season is over by then, mm-hmm. although that's not a given. You know, depending on what happens,
true.
You could keep playing and it's
definitely be into early June.
And it's a treat. It's a treat when baseball's playing into early June and you only have 60 days or so without. Now it's not a treat for the Kirk Sampsons of the world, right? Where they're working
right.
nonstop. But yeah, it's great to have a couple of weeks or, you know, just not all that much time between the last sporting event of the 25-26 academic year and the first sporting event of 26-27, mm-hmm. which is usually, I think women's soccer.
I was going to say, that usually starts about the same time.
Mid-August or so you get a home right. women's soccer game. The team, you know, the students are back, but you could be talking about, 10 weeks thereabouts between the end of baseball season and the ramp up, like there's your summer vacation, and we're not there yet. We're approaching it, but as Andy said, lots still going on in the world of Auburn athletics. As a lot of these seasons,
it's been a pretty good spring.
Yes, it has
for Auburn athletics. So they hope that they continue.
Well, and a couple of athletes who are among the best ever with their respective programs currently at Auburn.
Oh, Jackson Coivin,
DJ Bennett. Mm-hmm. Is breaking women's tennis records. I mean, there are a couple of. I mean, we've had, and I mean, think about the gymnasts who have come through that program. Mm-hmm. I almost said gymnasticists who came through in the last few years. But it's like it's really really cool to see some of those sports thrive, and obviously folks are hoping for more success in football than you've had the last couple of years. And hoping men's basketball can have a more successful year than the one they just had, but it's still. I mean, there's reason to be excited about both of those programs too. But in the meantime, you've got a baseball team that can hang with anyone.
Yes,
and you've got a couple of Olympic sports where it's weird to call men's golf an Olympic sport.
Yeah,
but it is.
It didn't used to be.
It is.
It wasn't.
It is.
But it is now.
28 LA. They'll be there. Jackson could be there. Who knows?
They could be.
Jackson could be in Southern California later this year for some hardware and could be competing there in a couple of years too. But yeah, it's very cool to catch up with Andy and shine a light on some of those sports. Get to talk with Justin Lee, who covers mm-hmm. those sports for the Torch extensively. Might need to talk to him again soon with all the stuff going on. In the world of Auburn athletics. But, yeah, great that Andy made some time for us. And if you missed any of that, we'll put up the podcast when the show is over, and you will you can go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. You can catch all of our conversation with Andy Burcham from earlier this hour.
Coming up next hour, Jake Crane will join us at the bottom. So around 5:30, we'll talk with Jake. Until then, phone lines are open. Anything on your mind, 334-321-1390.
What's your sense of how Butch handles the pitching staff on Thursday? And he's Jackson?
I think that's a possibility. I do. I think he can give you more than three innings. It just depends. I like Andy said, it sort of depends on how things go tonight. You'd like Griffin Graves to be able to go, you know, at least five tonight, so that you cut down the number of pitchers and you have more guys available on Thursday night in Starkville. But now I would think that's maybe the most likely of guys that have started, because it's difficult to throw somebody out there who hasn't started. It's sometimes, if you're going to do that, it's sometimes better to not let them be able to sleep on it the night before. You know what I mean? I mean, it's tough sometimes for someone who hasn't started to, it's like, oh, you're going to get to start an SEC game against a top 10 team on the road.
Auburn baseball tonight on the Auburn Sports Network, Wings 94.3. We'll have Brad's call of Auburn and UAB. Mentioned it earlier. I might want to keep an eye on sold-out Riddle Pace Field down in Troy. They're hosting Alabama tonight, and that should be – I mean, Troy's a pretty good team anyway, but that should be a lot of fun, I think, with that place.
Oh, yeah, to get an SEC team in there and for it to be, you know, the in-state school.
You know what? And kudos to Bama for playing that game.
Yeah.
Going to Riddle Pace. I'd love to see
Auburn.
There
have been many times in the past where, they would not do that.
And it's easy to play that game in Montgomery, I think, because you have you have such a great stadium there, and that's, you know, only 45 minutes to an hour from Troy's campus. But, no, kudos for going down to Troy and playing that one. And should be a big night for the Trojans as they get to host not just an SEC team and not just the in-state SEC team or one of the in-state SEC teams, but a team's having a pretty good season.
Well, you know, it's funny. I saw I think it was Baseball America's projections today. Did you see that?
With the regionals?
Yeah.
And who could had
Auburn as the 4 seed matched up with 13 seed Alabama. And if Alabama hosting a regional, Auburn hosting a regional, and those two teams could meet in Auburn for the Super Regional.
What a Super Regional. I mean, yeah. Iron Bowl Super Regional? Are you kidding me?
How much do you think those tickets would
Any SEC team hosting, like visiting Auburn in a Super Regional would be a really big deal. Alabama would be it's
insane.
Yeah, it's tough to describe.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here on this Tuesday edition of The Drive. Yeah, we mentioned some projections there. I mean, Auburn is being projected after that weekend series in Texas A&M, that series win. They're in everybody's top eight national seeds. Now they just have to, hold serve, if you will. As we were saying with Andy, I think 3-3 here over the last six regular season conference games keeps Auburn in the top eight national seeds.
I had someone ask during our conversation yesterday about what the with the Texas and Texas A&M rainout, you know, how the stand, and I think you touched on it yesterday that it would be win percentage.
It is. It goes by winning percentage. So I mean, you could have if Georgia and either Texas or Texas A&M have the same number of wins, Texas or A&M would have one less loss.
Right.
So they'd have a half game. They would actually win it by a half game, but that would be by percentage
points. So it becomes a situation where Georgia can't finish tied with Texas or Texas A&M for wins.
No,
or they would actually
unless
be behind.
Unless Georgia loses a game.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless the bringer of rain is able to make good.
Yeah, because A&M and Texas are going to play 29 conference games. Georgia will play 30.
Right. So I think that's something else to watch for, although you still could have, I think, with Texas and Texas A&M losses this weekend and a Georgia sweep, you would have a situation where Georgia clinches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If Georgia sweeps, then they would need a loss by Texas and Texas A&M.
Yes. One loss
for the rest of the year. So,
which isn't.
So Georgia's magic number is 4.
So, I mean, to me, that
for both Texas and Texas A&M.
And that Georgia LSU series becomes really interesting because LSU's fighting for their lives and they need to win those games to move the needle and impact their ability to even get in to defend their national championship.
Yeah, because if they're 12-18 in conference, I don't know. I don't know if they get in. I mean, it's a very, very strong conference, but.
And if they win those games, depending on what happens in Starkville.
Somebody's losing.
Depending on what happens in Texas and depending on what happens in Texas A&M, it's like you could have one or more teams threatening Georgia's regular season title a week later when Georgia comes to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where, like, if you're Georgia and you don't come out of this weekend regular season champ, suddenly there's a lot. I mean, you've got work to do in Auburn against a team that could also very well be in the mix. State could be in the mix depending on what happens. And then the teams in Texas could be right there in the thick of it too.
Right.
So, yeah, really interesting. I mean, you get this late in the season with the title still up for grabs and – lot of interesting things happen depending on who wins each individual game.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Again, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of the hour, but we're wide open until then. So why don't you join us here when we come back for hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. And hope everybody doing well. If you're just joining us, fun first hour. We had Andy Burcham on for an extended period of time, about 40 minutes with Andy, voice of the Tigers.
How about this? 40 minutes with Andy with practically no football or men's basketball talk.
I mean, really none.
And I still found it. I think it's riveting. And if you missed it, you should check out the podcast when we put it up later today, because yeah, Andy talks, he talks baseball. He talks about the historic seasons going on around Auburn athletics, women's tennis, men's golf, Auburn hosting track and field this weekend. Andy mentioned that it's Friday at 5 p.m., Yarbrough Tennis Center. Mm-hmm. Free admission. No word on free pizza.
No, I haven't heard that this week.
We might have to make some calls and get – although with the crowd Andy Burcham's expecting,
yeah,
that's a lot
I don't know about that.
A lot of pizza.
Indeed.
Tell you what, if you have a bunch of pizza, I would consider going to Yarbrough with it on Friday and passing it out and, you know, seeing if you got any takers, because that, yeah, it's going to be really, really busy Friday for Auburn and Duke women's tennis round of 16.
First time Auburn has ever hosted these super regionals, if you will. So that'll be big.
Andy mentioned a team trying to, I mean,
look, they
can't
play,
dream too big.
They sort of feel like they've been slighted as the number two national seed. They're ranked number one, and they're the two seed. So they feel like they have something to prove. I think that's great when you're that good, and you still are, you know, feel like you need. To be respected a little bit more,
and I think they think they've got a shot to win it all. I mean, that's you know, they think they can hang with just about anybody. And you've got a couple sports in Auburn athletics right now where it's really exciting to talk about teams that, and we've had that in men's basketball in the past, we've had that in football in the past. Been a while, but to talk about a team and talk about it like they can hang with anybody,
yes.
They've got a chance to bring home national championship type hardware. That's the kind of season you're having in women's tennis right now.
Well, you know what? I mean, I feel like that there are a couple of other sports that feel just the same way. We talked about baseball, and there's no question about men's golf.
Absolutely.
Women's golf, Andy said, yes. they feel strongly too. But, I mean, you'd have to say with baseball, men's golf, women's tennis, those are all top four or five national teams. I mean, baseball is the lowest ranked at four or five. Of those three programs.
Auburn is in the mix for multiple national championships, mm-hmm. between now and the end of the 25-26 academic year. You know, it's not a guarantee you're going to win any of them, right? Because there's a lot of other teams vying for national championships in these sports. But to be still dancing in the final 16 and hosting, and a team that believes they should be the number one team in the country in women's tennis, you've got – we probably don't talk about Koivun – enough as far as like what, because
what a dominant you know, college athlete he is.
And it's not his fault. Following college golf as a spectator isn't the easiest sport.
Mm-hmm.
He is phenomenal. He is, I mean, there are metrics that'll tell you he's the most talented college golfer since, you got to go back to the 2000s, maybe you got to go back to the 90s when you find a guy named Tiger Woods. Like it's like that's, and he's routinely breaking records that belonged to Tiger Woods. Like it's a guy who looks to be in position to have a long, prodigious, productive professional career after this record-shattering college run that he's on, and he's not finished with the college run. So Auburn, I mean, men's golf, another team that absolutely can hang with anyone and could very well be the national champion
and
when the season's over.
Yes, yes, they do. I mean, it is a fun time. It's not, there's not a ton of big. You know, something I meant to ask Andy. I meant to ask Andy about the ABS at the SEC.
Yeah,
tournament.
How about that? What do you think?
I think it's great. I was having a conversation with Christian and Jacob yesterday after their show. They were thinking, oh, they didn't know if this was a good time to do it. I said, I think it's a great time to bring that in because, look, there's a lot on the line, but I mean, it's a time where the best conference in college baseball gets a chance to test this out and then report. I mean, I don't see this costing a team. This shouldn't cost a team an opportunity to make the postseason or really affect their ranking much. I think it's a great time to do it. Yes, it would be good to start it in the preseason, pre-conference, but if you're going to check it out, I think this is great. Do it in a big-time conference's postseason tournament. And then, look, it's not going to carry over. You're not going to have it going on in the regionals, super regionals, and the College World Series. But I think it's a great way of testing it and getting that feedback and finding out, you know, how this would look during the regular season.
Especially because the SEC tournament isn't – I mean, it's important because teams want to win the SEC
right.
tournament. But it's probably not going to be – a huge factor in postseason seeding, so if you're going to test something out mm-hmm. midseason, rather than testing it out during midweek games that absolutely count in the standings and absolutely matter mm-hmm. for both teams, rather than testing it out during conference play, I think trying it out during the SEC tournament makes sense if you want to try it out during the season, and it's. You know, I guess kind of like the basketball in the Big 12. They tried the LED court during the conference
and scrapped it before the tournament was over.
Yeah, and I guess kind of like that. It's like if the technology is there and the technology is ready for prime time, clearly an LED court that it could not fully emulate the hardwood playing surface of basketball mm-hmm. yet. You know, maybe
this isn't affecting the game. I mean, it's.
I mean, it could have an impact on.
It could, but I mean, the thing is, all it should
on the
do.
The result, but
I mean, it's not making the ball react any differently when it's pitched or when it's hit.
It'll be in college baseball next year.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
And here's the thing.
I mean, look, Major League Baseball has taken to it pretty well, don't you think?
The technology is there. Like that's the one thing is the technology
it's
there?
It's amazing how good some of the teams are at making those calls.
Do you need it right? I mean, do you need to get rid of the human behind the plate? No, I think the human umpire can still make the call. Maybe one day we'll be at a point where it's a robot telling you if it was a ball or a strike, and you won't even need to challenge because the robot that told you ball or strike would be the one providing the info. But right now, I think a human with a mechanical fail-safe is probably the right policy, and if they feel like that the tech is there to do it in college baseball, I mean that they already have it in all the SEC stadiums, right? Like, I mean, I can't imagine they don't have this, you know, the pitch track equipment already set up, so it should like. I mean, I guess the question would be, does every college baseball team have the capability to have an ABS system in place before next year, or is this something that may need to just be in conference play? Is this something that's going to be maybe a conference rule that allows?
Well, I have a feeling that it would be in the College World Series next year. So I mean, it would be very beneficial for every college to be able to have that in place so that they get a chance to get acclimated to it before they get into the postseason. Don't you think? I mean, I feel that would be really. Really beneficial. It'd really be detrimental if you hadn't had any experience in doing it and you got into the postseason. 334-321-1390 is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Ed is up first. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, Ed.
I'm sorry, Bill. I'm sorry, my time is off. I was just going to... As far as like the AI or the, you know, I don't see why not to use it? You know, and especially, like give coaches maybe a challenge. You know, won a game, but I wonder if y'all could tell me where did the silly notion that there are some people in Birmingham that can decipher things better for SEC games than the refs they've got there at the game? I've always felt that was kind of just not necessary. Okay, we're going to go to Birmingham for this call. Like Birmingham's got some kind of. Have y'all ever thought about that, or you know?
Well, I mean, the thought process, Ed, is they've got more angles. Mm-hmm. The umps that are there on the field are calling it as they see it right there live, and then they can, you know, they can turn around and look at the scoreboard if the team has a good enough replay system. But there's still more angles there on, you know, in Birmingham. If you're watching a game on TV, you're going to get a lot more angles than the umpires do. So that's the thought process that goes into it, is sometimes, you know, a throw might beat a runner, but you can't. But if the umpire's behind it, he may not see if the guy's hand hits the bag or something like that.
But what I'm saying is, if we're getting it on, besides just take AI or robotics or anything out of it for a second, if we're getting it at home, surely there's a way that they can get it there on the field without having to this silly notion. We're going to go back to like Birmingham. They've got something special about it.
Yeah, maybe they could just go into the dugout look at the replays.
Sort of like in basketball when
officials go to the monitors.
They go over to the monitors. They could do that. You're right, Ed.
I've actually, Ed, there's been quite a bit of criticism. I think when you get to football, I think the idea of – well, when you go to the replay review, you know, we're going to Birmingham or we're going to get, you know, who knows who's making decisions as far as.
I'd rather just watch what ESPN or whoever's broadcasting it, just watch every one of their shots and make that call.
Similar criticism in the NFL of the idea that once you get into like the replay review system, like who's actually making this call and who's deciding these sorts of things.
That's kind of what I'm saying. You got a group of refs, and you know we all are saying that hey, we believe in the refs, and we want to let them know that we and the umps and whatever. And the best way to do that is let them have the same kind of angles that somebody else elsewhere is going to have, and let them you know do it. But I'm not saying I've got any of the answers. I just I always kind of thought that was kind of unnecessary, and kind of demeaning to the refs there.
You're not accusing anyone, but the fact is that's a system that could be manipulated. That's not to say that it's being manipulated and that it's being used against any SEC program. But when you have that, when you have that mystery,
the possibility is there.
All right, guys. Hey, and I appreciate. I enjoyed listening to you, and y'all have a great day. Beautiful day. Beautiful spring. And
so far,
y'all take care. And War Eagles.
You too, Ed. Good hearing from you.
Be well, Ed. Great to hear from you.
I mean, yeah,
good stuff.
You understand why? You know, another one of the explanations you would hear would be, well, this takes the pressure off the officials of instead of trying to justify that they got the call right or wrong. But no, you're right. It does put it in the hands of someone else, and you always wonder, you know, who is making that call, and do they have any, you know, feelings about either of the teams or players involved in the call?
It came up a lot in the NFL playoffs. The question of, okay, well, in the final 2 minutes of each half, when the coaches can't initiate a review and it's automatically reviewed, who's making that call?
Yeah.
And then the other question of when it goes to the booth, when something is being reviewed, who's making that call as to what's correct and what's not? It's like when those two things are unknown, it's reasonable to
it's much more comfortable if it's if it appears transparent,
especially when there's the situation where it's like a bang bang. You think about the interception that changed the Bills and Broncos game. You know, that it's like someone's got to make the call. Who caught that ball and I can understand why folks are eager to get some of that mystery out of the sport. And if that means officials on the field are looking at a monitor, basketball style. If that means there's and I think in college football, fewer reviews is part of the answer. Like, I think in college football,
I think
in college football, it should be, I mean, the NFL has the right system where scoring plays and turnovers automatically reviewed inside of 2 minutes of a half, automatically reviewed. Anything else, a coach needs to be willing to risk a timeout.
Right.
Coach needs to be willing to gamble it and say, hey, you know, throw the red flag.
Yeah,
push the button.
I've thought a little bit about the you know, the way it's set up is, you know, with the ABS, and it's going to be for in college in the SEC tournament. It's going to be, you know, you've got a challenge. If you get it right, you get another one. If you get that one right, you get it. I what people will be watching is which umps get the most challenges.
And I'm not. I've never been the refs are out to get my team kind of person, but I can understand. You know, as more and more people put on tinfoil hats, right? Like, I can understand why it's like if a call goes against you, or if you recognize a pattern of your team getting a lot of bad luck, you can start to ask these questions about
that's right.
Who's making these decisions?
Well, now you'll have the
opportunity. Is there an agenda?
There will be an opportunity to challenge and see if you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at the SEC release, baseball release for this week. You're going to see a ridiculous stat. First of all, Andy was talking about how crazy it's going to be in Starkville. Mississippi State leads the nation in attendance.
Yeah.
They average
rock and roll.
They average 11,223 per game. I mean, that includes their non-conference. That includes everything.
Is that home attendance?
Yes.
Okay.
But how about this stat? The top 10 national attendance leaders in attendance this season in the NCAA are all SEC schools. Auburn is number 10. They are 10th in the SEC and 10th nationally in attendance.
What was that number for average attendance of a Mississippi State game?
11,223.
Okay, well, through 20 home games this year, the Miami Marlins are averaging 12,632.
Yeah.
It's a major league team in Miami. Winning games.
Mississippi State is averaging nearly, and they would average 12. They'd average more than the Marlins if they had a bigger stadium.
Well, I mean, how about local populations?
How many people? No kidding. Starkville as compared to Miami.
How many people are in the 25-mile radius around the stadium in Starkville? And then let's play that game with Miami's stadium. No, it's insane, and I think that tells you how, like, when there's that kind of. And Auburn's had it before, too. When places that aren't booming metropolitan areas in the SEC have that kind of support mm-hmm. for their fan bases, it blows people's minds. And it makes coaches in places like Austin, Texas, or Athens, Georgia, or Baton Rouge, they're like...
Baton Rouge. LSU's number two.
Yeah.
LSU's number two in the nation in attendance. South Carolina is number six. South Carolina's... you're talking a couple of teams that are having, and Tennessee's seven.
The Mississippi State thing, it reminds me of Auburn basketball, where it's like you hear.
State's been that way always with baseball.
But you'll hear fan bases say, like, well, hey, if Auburn can fill Neville Arena every night with the number of people who live in the Auburn-Opelika area, what's stopping LSU or Austin or pick a bigger city? In the SEC, it's like sometimes it helps being one of the only games in town.
That's true.
And sometimes that, you know, when there's
helps when you're really good.
When you're winning.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It helps a lot. All right. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of the hour. Still got time for you to join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew, I think we'll be back tomorrow. We'll find out if he's here. But it's Bill and Dan today. Again, fun show so far. Talked a lot of baseball, a lot of SEC baseball, as Auburn about to get underway in the little over half an hour Auburn UAB up in Birmingham tonight. And another one that Auburn would, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they didn't win it, but they would really like to win it after UAB swept them a year ago. Griffin Graves, still returning, looking to get back to top form, has had a couple of pretty good outings. They really would like to have him go deep tonight. I mean, love to get at least five innings out of Griffin Graves, the lefty tonight.
And one of our favorites coaching UAB, guy we talked about the last time Auburn and UAB squared off. And I mean, just really cool to see Casey succeeding. If you remember him as a player, if you remember him starting out, I mean, you
yeah, Casey Dunn, an excellent ball player, and has really done a good job coaching there in the Birmingham area at Sanford and now at UAB. And he gets a kick out of beating his alma mater as well. So that'll be coming up a little later on this evening.
I'll tell you this, because like this season's going really, really well. I get the sense Butch loves coaching baseball and is in no hurry.
Oh, yes.
Is in no hurry to get off the stage anytime soon.
And he's not ancient.
No,
or anything.
No, he's not. Should Auburn, like, in the event that in the next couple of years, Auburn would need a new baseball coach, I think Casey Dunn would be one of the candidates that people are talking about as like a possibility, right? Like he would be on the list of potential.
He's been thought of before.
So. A guy who one day could be, and again, with there's absolutely no pressure on Butch Thompson.
No, not at all.
They're in the top five. They hosted a super regional last year. Like it's not like, oh, you know, he needs to, Butch better hurry up and show us something, or else, you know, John Cohen's got a decision to make here. It's not like that, but. I think that Casey Dunn would be somebody to keep an eye on as a guy who could one day be. Is that a fair way to put it, Bill? Guy who could potentially be. I know he's, you know, Casey's in his 40s now too, but like, you know, potentially, you know, a guy who's done checks a lot of boxes. If you needed a baseball coach in the area, no question about it.
Yeah. Talk about knowing the state, knowing the region, knowing college baseball. Yeah, there's no question about that. Really hasn't been. I mean, hasn't been a big news day or anything. I still wonder. You know, Stephen Pearl said last week that, you know, in the next couple of weeks, they'd like to go ahead and have that last spot on the basketball roster. Talking with Brian Matthews yesterday, he said he hasn't heard any new names, nor have I seen a lot of new names. I mean, it's Mathis Roostevicius, and that appears to be the target. It's just, will Auburn be able to get things worked out with him to be able to have him eligible to play this next year to add to the roster?
Yeah, the big transfer news in the last couple of days in college basketball is Juke Harris going to Tennessee, which is a big pickup for Rick Barnes. This guy was one of the top scorers in the ACC last year at Wake Forest, most improved player in the ACC. He was second team all-conference by the end. For a Tennessee team that's not going to have a ton returning.
No, you're right.
They're doing as well in the portal as just about anybody in college basketball. So you look, it's like we said yesterday, Florida could be your preseason number one.
Probably should be.
Arkansas is going to get a lot of love in the preseason with the work they've done on the roster. Tennessee has done as well in the portal as, I'd say Louisville would argue they've done as well in the portal.
Yeah.
As anybody, but Tennessee's in the mix as one of the best, with all the work they did. I love the Texas roster. Being able to go get Johnson from Colorado, being able to retain some of the pieces. They have Vokatitis next year is going to be a preseason.
Adding
Elijah Freeman from Auburn. Like, I really like what they were able to do.
Yeah, Sean Miller's got a pretty good looking roster.
What if Tanner comes back? Tyler Tanner is in the NBA draft, but is keeping his eligibility at Vanderbilt potentially. They've had a pretty good portal window as well, including Sebastian Williams-Adams from Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn made a little trade with Vandy there. Auburn giving up Sebastian Williams-Adams and adding George Kimball.
If Vandy were to get Tyler Tanner back, I think they would be looking like a preseason top 10 team too, because he would probably be your preseason conference player of the year after the season he just had at Vanderbilt. If he were to come back to college basketball, he would be. I think he'd be one of the Florida bigs, Josh Hubbard. Like you'd have some people in the conversation too. I would think that it's maybe Tyler Tanner if he's back.
Yeah. Now, and that of course leaves it's a glaring, obvious team that we didn't talk about is Kentucky. I mean, yeah. you mentioned some SEC schools, including Tennessee and Vandy, yeah, and Florida, and you know, and then
I didn't mention Alabama.
You mentioned Louisville.
Alabama would be in that mix, I think, with a lot, like certainly ahead of Kentucky.
Oh yeah,
you know, with
no
what
question.
Alabama could present.
And that's the rub, yeah, there for, uh-huh, Kentucky fans.
And Billy Donovan.
Where is Kentucky?
And Billy Donovan, yeah, is available right, mm-hmm, now too, which I think makes it only like this is. I mean, yeah, this feels like. This feels like it's capsizing. I don't want to be premature about this with Pope, but they're not going to have any patience for a third year that isn't an improvement on the first two. And it just doesn't seem right now like Kentucky's roster is.
Where's it
going
to come from? That's
where they're going to improve. And I think it would be like as important as he is to the program and the role that played in him getting the job. I think it's going to be about results in year three. I think it's going to be about results for Steven, and it's just year two, right? Like I think it's you know, neither coach is in position to go backwards, and I think for Mark Pope it would be it's hard to imagine going forward.
Yeah, maybe we're so close to it that we're you know we're blinded by it, but it sure appears that Auburn is making steps to make that improvement.
Well, retaining some of your best players,
yeah,
is a
keeping
big
Tejad and Kevin Overton, yeah, and adding the bigs that they have. I think if they can play.
If Kentucky were returning a backcourt, point guard and shooting guard that started every game last year, I don't think there'd be the same kind of concern at like in Lexington. But they're not. And in fact they're losing. I mean, Aberdeen went back to Florida. Like they've mm-hmm, lost guys that they added in the portal that they thought, you know, could be multi-year pieces. It's that is one of the storylines of the summer, I think, in the SEC is like what is going on at Kentucky, and
what's going on at LSU too.
Well, at least that's a year one sort of deal. I know they thought they'd have more than one player.
Oh, you absolutely thought with Will Wade coming in there, they would you know, hit the ground running.
And there are still. I mean, I think Juke Harris picking Tennessee shows like there are still some high quality,
oh, yeah,
major
there
conference.
Are some players available.
Some starters out there. You don't want to go too deep into May with big glaring holes.
No, with a one or two man roster. No.
Or, I'll tell you what, you don't want to go too deep into May with like big holes in the starting lineup. Forget about like a one or two man roster. Like, if you got four starters, it's like that sounded great 3 weeks ago. The longer you go with four or five starters, like where's that other where are those minutes going to come from? That is, and it's usually not Kentucky we're talking about that, right?
No,
trouble.
Not.
I mean, trouble on the recruiting trail wasn't the problem for Calipari. It wasn't.
No, it never was. Never. And still
never.
Isn't. Still isn't. All right, we need to get
Which
to
probably
our.
Probably makes things even worse.
Oh yes.
For Mark Pope.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to check in with Jake Crane from Crane and Cone when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, and we're going to head to the Drive Hotline and welcome in our good friend from Crane and Cone. That is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing today, man?
Ah, man, I'm doing great. I appreciate y'all having me.
Oh yeah, I mean we've talked a lot of baseball here today. As I mean we're coming down the stretch, and the SEC once again is so dominant. Five top 10 teams. I was looking at the SEC release. The top 10 teams in the nation in attendance are all SEC teams, led by Mississippi State, where Auburn heads this weekend.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Bill, I mean I'm not surprised at all.
No.
The SEC is. Totally cornered the market on college baseball and college softball and gymnastics, if we're being honest. I tell you, though, and it's something I've come on here and talked about throughout the year, you felt like the hitting was the players were too good for Auburn not to figure it out from a power standpoint. You know, it wasn't that Auburn wasn't getting hits. They were just, you know, they're not able to hit home runs at the rate of some of these other teams. But now, just like you always want it to be, you are heating up at the right time. And to go, and I'll be honest with you, I think the rain out Friday helped Auburn. I think having the doubleheader Saturday, I think it helps you.
The place would have been it would have been a hornet's nest on Friday night too, right? I mean, it was still lively on Saturday morning, but yeah.
Well, the thing is too, Dan, Auburn was so hot hitting in that first game. Then you just go right back out there and play again.
Good call.
Like there's not enough time for you to, all right, hey, that was great. We scored 18 runs, whatever it was. Now we go sleep on it. Got to do it tomorrow. I mean, you go get a Gatorade and a Snickers bar and you're right back up in the box seeing it. So getting those two on Saturday, and I tell you what, we talk a lot about the starting pitching. And we should. Auburn's rotation four deep is legit. But what Jackson Sanders did coming out of the pen for that second game on Saturday and then having the faith to leave him out there when you got a guy like Heitzler that can come in and start throwing frisbees, I was really impressed with what I saw from him.
Yeah, and we were talking about it. I mean, Auburn's got it's a short turnaround. They actually have 7 games in 8 days. Including, you know, they've got a game tonight against UAB, but then play Thursday through Saturday against Mississippi State. And Butch Thompson is a coach that doesn't like to shorten the rest that his pitchers have. And either of the guys, either of the starters from Saturday, and Andres Alvarez or Jake Marciano, would be going with 2 days less rest if they started on Thursday. So that sort of has us wondering. You know, Jackson Sanders, as you said, did a great job, but it was 3 pretty efficient innings that he threw to get that save in the second game Saturday. It would be more like an extended bullpen that he'd had this past Saturday for him to be able to go out there and start. I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but I would think that that's a possibility for Auburn Thursday night against Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously a positive to have that alternate scenario. But I tell you what, when you go back and look, it's not like Alvarez threw 120 pitches and Marciano threw 115.
No.
And look, it's coming down the stretch in SEC play. You're fighting for a national seed. You got 12 hours less rest. Well, you know what? You're 22 years old. Go out there and get it. It's not like. He's not one of those guys like, you know, for example, Kevin O'Sullivan that'll just leave a starter in there and let him throw
150 pitches. No.
I think Butch Thompson has done a great job managing the arms as well. But I tell you what I like, Bill, because I think they're going to go normal rotation. What I like, and again, where that doubleheader helps you have such extremes from Friday to Saturday, or if it's a doubleheader, you got Alvarez pumping 96 with a slide tee and a hook.
From the right side,
and then,
yeah.
That's a righty. And then you bring a soft lefty out there, which, look, Marciano's 90 to 92, but a guy that's the total opposite, that tends to play well when you're facing pretty much the same lineup.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, I'm just – the way that Rembert really hadn't come around yet either. Like if Rembert comes around, you're talking about, and what Mason McCrane's doing at leadoff, I mean, it seems like you found the right formula. This just, it's like Goldilocks porridge, right? Like this one's a little too hot. This one's a little too cold. It seems like Gabe Gross and Coach Thompson and Coach Nonnemaker, they got that porridge just right now.
Yeah, the bats, you talked about power. Auburn's averaging better than 2 homers a game now here over the last month. So
and we couldn't hit one on the Little League World Series field earlier in the year.
Jake, what does it say about Butch Thompson, too, that in an era where you can go get veterans every single transfer portal cycle after every season, a couple of years in a row now, he has bet big on freshmen, and it's paid off. Last year, Auburn had 3 of the best freshmen in the conference in the everyday lineup. This year, you look, and Ethan Bingaman has maybe been the best.
You want to talk about a dude that can just hit?
Maybe the best freshman position player in the league this year. Like, he's crushing the ball.
And he's solid on defense, too. He plays first.
And he's playing first,
and
he's not been a first baseman, though. I mean.
No, and Bingaman's doing this against the best pitching he's going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it just – we hadn't had what – you know, Rembert, the thing with Bingaman, Rembert's kind of got that flat swing, right? His bat stays in the zone a really long time. That's why he's able to spray it to all fields. Bingaman is open, and he's sitting on one pitch. The amount of first pitch fastballs this dude has jumped all over, next year he will not get a first pitch fastball. So I'm excited to watch him evolve because I think he could be a first day guy.
Oh, I agree. And you mentioned Mason McCrane, and how about Brandon McCrane for a redshirt freshman? I mean, he continues to just hum along around 340, 350.
Yeah, and his glove's gotten better, I think.
Yes, it has.
That was something that worried me earlier in the year. But I tell you what's crazy to think about. Auburn could have had, you know, McGonagall for the Tigers that may win Rookie of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
He was committed to Auburn with, oh boy, from the Orioles, who played on Team USA. God, why can't I remember his name? Gunnar Henderson from Selma. You could have had, and again, this happens to a lot of places, guys that get drafted really early, they go. But if you think about the freshman classes that Auburn could have had the past couple of seasons, I mean, we know what we're doing when it comes to recruiting.
Oh, there's no question. No question about that.
The baseball team only has one head coach. The softball team has two, and they got nobody.
You know, I guess when you're talking about what could have been, too, it's like, I mean, didn't Ike Irish leave a year of eligibility on the table?
Yes.
But he was smart to go. I mean, I'm watching Edward Julian, play the Braves the other night. God, if he could just made a throw to first base, we'd all remember him different.
No, I could be up pretty soon and join the list of Auburn big leaguers. No, really exciting stuff.
Go ahead,
Jake.
No, I was just saying, it got to the point where Ike was going up there hunting the homer. Like, that's what it turned into because he was just so locked in.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane and Cone here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jake, one thing that we haven't had a lot of, like, breaking news in the world of football or men's basketball over these last couple of days, especially stuff involving Auburn. I would like to get your thoughts on the expansion of the NCAA tournament because it's something that it just feels
which one?
The one that they've officially announced that it's expanded. Going from 68 to 76 in men's basketball and I mean just I didn't think the bubble was all that strong this year, and it feels like it waters down the significance of even making the tournament, and it's going to get you more mediocre ACC, SEC, and Big Ten teams in the big dance.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I don't understand. If there's like one thing that you would have said, all right, Jake, you get to pick one thing in college sports that they can't change, it would have been March Madness and the amount of teams. Because it's perfect. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And very few things are perfect nowadays. It just goes to show you that honestly, because I think the sentiment from fans to whatever is probably 70-30, don't touch it. I would think that's probably about right, maybe even more. It just goes to show you that the people that run these sports do not care about what the fans think. They think it is untouchable. And to be honest with you, as sad as it is, they're probably right. Like, I'm going to complain about it.
But you're gonna watch on Tuesday and Wednesday.
But the thing is, it'll be perfect once it gets to Thursday and you've got 64 teams.
And at least, Jake, they did not mess with the tournament to the degree that, like, on Thursday morning, we will have a field of 64.
Right.
Like, when the tournament is supposed to start. Now, there will be a lot of basketball leading up to that field of 64 being set. But I think, part of this is a belief, and we'll see how mistaken the belief is that Warner Brothers Discovery believes, okay, well, we can make Tuesday the new Thursday in the NCAA tournament.
You can have six
games on Tuesday and six games on Wednesday leading up to Thursday.
Like, Dan, have you ever seen the movie The Campaign with Will Ferrell and that guy with Galifianakis in it? Do you remember when they're talking to the Koch brothers? And the Koch brothers, they're like, aren't you happy we doubled the profits? And they're like, no, we fired half the company and we're outsourcing the rest of it to China because we can triple the doubled profit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what it's just like, I don't think they care because, again, we're going to watch.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to watch.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with college football. They changed everything. Like, NIL was supposed to ruin the sport. It was supposed to ruin it. It's just done nothing but gotten more popular. So at the end of the day, like, as sad as it is, they're right. They're going to make more money off of this, and we're just going to have to take it because, like Chris Farley in Wayne's World, man, It's all I got. I got no place else to go.
No place else to go. Now, Jake, that's also, he's doing a little officer and a gentleman there. That goes back to Bill. You know, we got to go back to the 80s where they're with the Richard Gere.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, you know, we're going to find out, like, when they're wrong, right? Like, when there's a miscalculation, it'll probably be too late anyway, right? Like, you're not.
Well, the only way, honestly, I think the only way they could screw up anything is to do something political. That's really the only silver bullet for the werewolf in this thing. And I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't either.
So we're going to keep watching, and it is what it is. I can try and Paul Revere this thing all I want, but it's not going to work.
I would think that the concern would be, I mean, I get what you're saying about the politics of it, but it's like, I think if you put it behind too many paywalls, like at some point you're going to scare your audience away. I think WWE is learning that lesson right now. When you put too many things behind too many paywalls, maybe the average fan says, I'm just not going to bother with this anymore. But there are ways away. There are ways away from that in college athletics.
Well, at this point, I think they may just be trying to screw it up to see if they can do it. Like, you never know. You never know if the atomic bomb works until you blew it up out in the desert. So, like, at some point, they're like, all right, look, you know, we paid for all this and did all this. It's like that part on they're talking about with presidents in the past, and the guy's like, I think we can go even dumber.
It is a fun time of year, Jake. I mean, we've talked some baseball. I mean, but it's the talking time and the preseason, you know, lists of, you know, who did the best, who's got the best rosters, who has the toughest schedule, that type thing. What all kinds of things are you guys talking about? What can folks look forward to coming up on Crane and Cone?
Yeah, well, we just did our big SEC post-spring ranking, talked a lot of Auburn. We're, you know, I guess it's the curse bestowed upon us. We're cautiously optimistic, as usual, so we'll see what happens. We actually had Coach Dan Casey on today. We dropped our top five play callers in college football. Really good watch. We kind of talk about how plays get called in, how this stuff works. And then tomorrow we have Feinbaum on the show, so that ought to be interesting. So, yeah. Go to YouTube. It's Crane and Cone, C-R-A-I-N and Cone. We're easy to find.
Great stuff, Jake. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great week. Look forward to talking again next week.
All right, y'all be good.
See you, bud.
Jake Crane joins us Tuesday afternoons at around the bottom of the hour. And, yeah, check him out there at Crane and Cone. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Back to wrap things up here on the Tuesday Drive.
Looking for a home service company you can trust.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final couple of minutes here on the Tuesday edition of the drive. Auburn baseball coming up just a few minutes. Over on Wings 94.3, the pregame's already on. And the Tigers in Birmingham taking on UAB. Griffin Graves on the mound for the Tigers tonight. And they hope that they can avoid using a lot of pitchers because you're going to be right back in action Thursday in Starkville against Mississippi State.
Yeah, we'll have that for you on on Wings 94.3, Auburn Sports Network coverage of Auburn baseball tonight with Brad Law. And then Thursday through Saturday, Auburn and the Mississippi State Bulldogs, big weekend of SEC baseball.
Yes.
Could have a regular season champion, depending on what happens with Georgia and LSU. Texas A&M both trying to keep up with Georgia. Auburn and Mississippi State both trying to stay alive in the regular season hunt.
Thing is, if you finish in the top four, look, you may not win the regular season, but if you're a top four seed, you get a double bye in the SEC tournament. And right now, Auburn and Mississippi State are tied for fourth. So the winner of this weekend series, would have the tiebreaker if they finish tied after next weekend. So very important series coming up starting Thursday there. Auburn and Mississippi State are the only Thursday through Saturday series this weekend. Everybody else goes Friday through Sunday.
We should have our usual Wednesday gang in the house tomorrow, right,
yeah,
Jason?
I would sure think so. Jason Caldwell in hour number one, Adam Cole in the second hour.
By the way, congratulations to
the
award-winning Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. He wins the APSE the contest, for Division D team beat writing. Outstanding work by
Adam.
AP sports editors.
Yeah, I don't think that is saying that the team was Division D. I think that is
it's geography. I think, but Associated Press Sports.
I had somebody go, "What is they call an Auburn basketball a Division D team?"
I believe that's the geographic region.
No, I think you're right.
Associated Press Sports editors.
We'll find out from Adam.
Awarding Adam. I mean, congratulations.
Well, Jason Caldwell has his share of awards as well. So, yeah, looking forward to that tomorrow. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.